well, to Bali now and the tariffs. And the Australian government says it expects China to drop all tariffs on Bali when the deadline expires on August the 11th. And the Assistant Minister for Trade, Tim Eyre, says there's no appetite in the government or amongst the ministers for a further extension like the one that China asked for last time. He said the trade should resume and if the trade without the barriers, and he said if the trade barriers are not dropped, he said that Australia will be heading back to the World Trade Organization.
Well, I want to be really clear about what's happened here, Michael. The initial agreement announced by Penny Wong, the foreign minister, and Don Farrell, the trade minister, was that there would be a three-month review, and there was agreement that if required, there would be a one-month extension. That means that this report is due on the 11th of August. I expect that this report will mean that China will lift the tariffs, remove the tariffs that have been placed on Bali, and also remove all other impediments that there are in the place of Bali exporters to China. These are impediments that should never have been put in place in the first place. It of course is hurting in some communities and for our Bali exporters, but it's also very bad for Chinese business, in particular the Chinese beverage industry. I expect all of these impediments to be removed, and in the absence of a removal of those impediments on the 11th of June, of course the Australian government's made it very clear that we'll resume the WTO applications.
And no extension, no talk of an extension.
The agreement that was reached by Trade Minister Don Farrell was very clear. Three-month review, possibility of a one-month extension, and absent the removal of tariffs and impediments, that Australia would continue with continue with the WTO dispute that is already on foot and almost completed.
Now, I know that there's quite a lot of demand for Australian barley in China. The Chinese trade is already going direct to farmers and farm organisations. So, you know, there must be some internal pressure in China too. What have the Chinese been saying to you? Anything?
Well, it's been clear from the Chinese industry that, you know, Australian barley is top quality barley for Chinese beer. It is the best product in the world. This set of trade impediments, whether it's in Bali or in the other areas, have not been in the interests of Chinese supply chains, Chinese industry or Chinese consumers. Now, it's been good to see a resumption of normal trade for coal and copper, timber, recently stone fruit. So some progress is being made. You know, if we successfully navigate the way through in terms of barley, there is of course still quite some way to go before it can be said that China-Australia trade has returned to normal, stable, rules basis. And there is still work here for the government to do, and we will be in there, back in our agriculture sector, back in country communities, and supporting the Australian national interest by advocating a return to normal trade. Even when there is disagreement, it's important that Australia is in there at a ministerial level and at official level, arguing the case for the Australian interest. And that includes, critically, the people in your listening audience, Australian farmers and the Australian agriculture sector, whether it's in terms of these issues about trade impediments in China or market access more broadly across the globe. Australian agriculture can be confident that the Albanese government is in there fighting for market access and for a rules-based approach to trade. You know, that is important for Australia's economic future.
Australian farmers say they don't really want anything to go to the WTO because it takes too long. They'd prefer a negotiated settlement. So that's your aim too?
Yeah, of course it's always better to get an agreed pathway through these kinds of issues. It's always faster, and that's the approach that Don Farrell took here, was that there was a better pathway through by reaching an agreed approach. And if that fails, of course, the WTO is a backstop. we will be focused on improvements and reforms to the WTO process. But your point is dead right. That is, countries should follow the rules. Where there's disagreement, dialogue is the best way forward. That's the approach we're taking here, but we've got the WTO process as a backstop, and we won't hesitate to return to the WTO to advocate the Australian interest here.
Any joy for Australian wine grape growers and winemakers anytime soon with China?
Well, I expect a successful conclusion in terms of barley. I expect that in terms of wine, if there is a successful approach here, I would expect that wine would follow a similar pathway. There is, of course, a WTO process on foot in relation to Australian wine. While Australian barley producers have largely been successful in finding new markets around the world for Australia's, you know, top shelf, high quality barley, it's been tougher for our wine exporters. And there is considerable economic pain being experienced by wine growers, the wine processors, and wine communities, particularly, but not just in South Australia. So there are some tough issues there. The government's approach here has been the same: calm and consistent advocacy in the national interest and in the interest of these sectors, and we are not going to lose our focus on these issues.
That's the Assistant Minister for Trade, Tim Ayres. Well, grain growers are hoping the trade matter is resolved and that China drops the tariffs on barley so exports can go back to normal. Andrew Wiedemann is a Victorian grain grower and spokesperson for Grain Producers Australia. He says he's been approached by Chinese grain traders who are keen to buy our barley because of the superior quality. And once the trade is reopened, orders will flood in. He says he agrees with the government position that the trade barriers should be lifted and that no extension should be granted.
Yes, look, Michael, that's been sort of my personal view, and I think that's been supported by others with a similar view, that our expectation is that this is the opportunity for us to all move on with the Chinese and hopefully see the barley market reopen, but also the precursor to a number of other commodities that have been closed out through the imposition of tariffs that were placed on us 4 years ago.
Now, I guess the other thing is, it must be heartening to hear that the government has no appetite for any extension.
Well, look, at the end of the day, you know, the government needs to make a call on this. And from our perspective, with putting in place action in the World Trade Organization process has probably not been, we haven't really supported that process because we really feel that it's always got to be a negotiated outcome, and I still feel that that's the case. But look, certainly it's the government's call, and if we don't get back to some form of equilibrium, then there is no really other recourse other than to go back into negotiations in the World Trade Organization process.
Which would be disappointing, and you prefer to negotiate something, and you're hoping that China will come back and say, okay, we're going to drop them.
Well, absolutely, because I think that if we continue with that process, it'll extend the process with China for lack of purchasing. Even if there is a positive result in the World Trade Organization process, they're clearly signalling that they want to buy Australian barley, if that's the case.
You're hearing from overseas, from China, that they do have an appetite. They want to buy from us.
Yes, absolutely. So, look, we've had plenty of inquiries from Chinese buyers in the recent past, probably 6 months since the original discussion started, and we expect that that will probably go towards a business outcome should the tariff removal be successful.
So there'd have to be some pressure internally in China, and also if they are getting barley, they're paying, you know, a lot extra to get it, like maybe from Europe, from France.
Look, absolutely. Look, at the end of the day, our quality of barley here is the top of the class because of the Mediterranean climate that's grown in, whereas our competing countries are generally harvesting in what we would call humid, moist conditions right around the world. So we know that our barley is sought after for that particular purpose in terms of moulding. But I know that there's certainly plenty of our barley being taken over into China for feed as well. But at the moment, we're seeing an increase, obviously, in the corn crop and the soybean crop, which is putting some level of pressure on that demand. But at the end of the day, malting barley has been the reason that we really opened up that China market over the last two decades. And that's the market that we continue to look to source into, because it's a premium market for our barley. And again, that's a return, hopefully, to growers.
And yet a lot of Chinese maltsters use feed one to make beer out of too, but we won't go into that. The other issue is, are we getting good prices for where we're sending it now, like into the Middle East and Vietnam?
Look, we've been able to achieve a pretty good result, given that we had no real market presence in what we would call traditional markets from prior to China. We've been able to open up, re-establish and even create some new markets. I think we've seen cargoes into Mexico. We've also seen some interest from Argentina, India, has been purchasing some as well. And of course, we've seen a heightened increase in demand through Indonesia, aside of China as well. So, look, at the end of the day, you know, we produce a premium product, and we hope that we can really get back into that market, and that the industry can go forward from here and probably take a good deep breath, and hopefully that's all it is.
Get high prices selling to the Chinese.
Well, look, yeah, I mean, they'll increase demand and competition, which increases price, generally speaking. But we know that, you know, they've got a pretty good appetite for Australian barley. Previously, up to nearly 6 million tonnes of barley in a record export program to them was achieved. And we think that we may never get back to that level in the short term, but who knows, longer term, what might happen. But up until now, of course, it's been quite a political process, and we just hope that politicians on both sides can get the deal done, and we can all move on.
Andrew Edelman, who's a Victorian grain grower and with Grain Producers Australia.